Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's the Chuck and Winkler pregame show with Ryan Horvath on AM 1250 and 105.7 FM. The Fan.
Hello. Good morning.
Let's go. Yes.
For the second time tonight, in unison, the fans in Pfizer form chant MVP.
He is. Oh, he is. It's beautiful to watch right now. I mean, how hard he's played all night. Hear these MVP chants. Just listen.
Take it day by day, game by game, and just get myself ready in games that matter the most. And this is the opportunity to get better, to help my teammates be better. Because at the end of the day, we want to play, want to be the last team that's playing at the end of the season.
Yes, sir. Happy Tuesday morning. Ryan Horvath in. It's the Chuck and Winkler pregame show here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Chuck and Bart, both off today. However, we will have a show for you. Chuck and Winkler coming your way 6 to 10. It'll be myself and Tim Allen. Tim Allen back. He'll be filling in for Chuck and for Bart today. Kevin Holden from CBS 58 will be in tomorrow. And we'll have full shows. We'll be with you guys on Thanksgiving from 8 to 10. I'll be in with the Bill Michaels Show from 10 to 2. So if you're driving around, if you're traveling for the holidays, make sure to stay safe. Have a happy holiday, happy Thanksgiving, and listen to The Fan. We'll be on 105.7 FM, The Fan. If you're at home with the relatives, pop on the radio.com app. You could fast forward, rewind. If you do have to have dinner, when it's time for dessert, just pause, boom, hit play again. You won't miss a thing even during the Thanksgiving week because it's going to be a busy, busy week. Can't let the holiday get in the way of your sports. Last night, the Bucks pick up another win. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk some Packers football. It's been, 48 hours about since Sunday night? Not even maybe 2 days, a night and a half. And I don't know that I'm feeling any better. So we're going to talk about that. But I want to start off 414-799-1250. We're going to talk some Bucks basketball. And I want to know your guys' honest opinion after a 50-point game last night from Giannis. Can anybody actually hang with this Bucks team in the Eastern Conference? Because we saw some things last night around the association, around the league, that looks troubling for the other teams. Meanwhile, the Bucks, they're playing without their second-best player, an all-star in Chris Middleton, and they just continue to roll. We'll go over the numbers. As once again, the Bucks win last night. They defeat the Utah Jazz in somewhat of a revenge game. Anytime the Bucks get beat earlier in the season, you know they come back, and they come back with a vengeance. Last night, Giannis scores a season-high 50 points. He pulled down 14 rebounds. It's his 17th consecutive double-double, and the Bucks rally in the second half of that game for their eighth straight victory, 122-118 over the Utah Jazz on Monday night. Wesley Matthews, old man Wesley Matthews, looked good last night, 19 points in the starting lineup. Eric Bledsoe last night, 13 points. The Bucks now 14-3 this season. Next up, they get a day off today, and then they get the Atlanta Hawks. So they're finally back home after a long road trip, which is a good thing, a very good thing. And they will be back in action against Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks tomorrow night right at the Pfizer Forum. So the Bucks continue to roll. And with that, we talk to our post-game host, Bill Schmidt.
Morning, boys. Ryan, it was a heck of a game at Pfizer Forum last night, primarily by the reigning defending MVP. Giannis goes off for his first 50-burger of 2019, 50 points, 14 boards, 6 dimes, and did it playing 39 minutes without committing a turnover. He was spectacular. They seal it with a block by Brooke Lopez on Donovan Mitchell. Bucks trailed by 9 at the break. Giannis had 32 there in the second half to get to the 50 spot, close it out, finishes it by capping off the 50 spot with 2 made free throws. It was a tremendous game. Fans chanting MVP. It was absolutely electric at Fiserv Forum. But the Bucks have now won 8 straight, And with the Atlanta Hawks coming in, you start trying to eyeball where the next loss is on the schedule, and maybe this team is actually better than they were in 2018 that took them two games away from the NBA Finals. So good news again, Bucks win 122-118 the final. They rectify the one of their three losses on the schedule against the Jazz. Now they try to do so against the Celtics and Heat, and they'll be clean here in 2019. Guys, get back to the Packers conversation. We'll talk to David Bakhtiari at 4:35, try to get some answers from the three-time All-Pro. But until then, Godspeed with the Packers panic.
Thank you, William. You can catch him on the post-game show tomorrow night. Once again, Bucks-Hawks. Also, he will be with you guys on Christmas Day. It's never too early to start thinking about Christmas. The Bucks will play their second straight Christmas game this season. Once again, Bill just said it there. The Bucks have won a season high right now, 8 games, right? 12 of their last 13 games. They're playing without their second-best player in Chris Middleton. They're a season high 11 games over 500 and an Eastern Conference best 14-3 right now. So right now they're the best team in the Eastern Conference, hands down, 14-3. Giannis, 50 points last night, 14 rebounds, and he still picks up 6 assists. This is the Bucks' longest win streak since they won 8 games during the 2001-2002 season. So you look at last season, right? They won 60 games. However, this is their longest win streak, 8 games, since 2001-2002. We all remember what happened in 2001-2002. The Bucks split the 2019-20 series with the Utah Jazz 1-1, so they pick up a nice win last night. Earlier in the season, I was saying this could potentially be a finals matchup. I thought Utah could be a sleeper team in the Western Conference. They're a tough team. Now, last night, Giannis scores 50 points, but he does it without Rudy Gobert on the floor for Utah. He was banged up for the Jazz. We're not going to give him any excuses as the Bucks are playing without Chris Middleton, but does Giannis score 50 points without arguably the best rim protector in the league? Not quite sure. What I do know is the Bucks did score a season-high 42 points in the third quarter to take that game over. They're 6-0 when scoring 40 or more points in the third quarter. So they score a season-high 42 points last night, but they have scored 40 a couple times this season. 6-0 when scoring 40 or more points in the third quarter. Giannis fell 2 points shy of his career high, which is 52. He finishes with 50 last night, 17-31 from the floor. I already mentioned the 14 rebounds. He also had 6 assists, all game highs last night. And I saw something crazy. I saw this on Twitter last night. So since turnovers became an official stat, which I believe was in 1977, this is the first time anybody on the Bucks has scored 50 points with no turnovers. Like, that's the crazy thing. I do player props. Last night, Giannis's turnovers were over under at 3.5. He finishes with no turnovers. He's just the fourth player in NBA history during this time to score at least 50 points, pull down 10 rebounds, and not turn the ball over one time. That means no offensive fouls for Giannis either last night. The best thing about this kid is he's never satisfied. Coach Budenholzer.
He's always seeing areas where he can improve and get better. And it's an element or a part of our DNA. We want all our players and organizationally, we want to just keep getting better. And he sets a tone for us organizationally, and he's big time.
Yeah, so that right there, Coach Budenholzer. My apologies, my mic wasn't on there. Giannis last night, 50 points, his 17th consecutive double-double to start the season. That's the longest double-double streak to start the season since Bill Walton had 34 in 1967. 17 consecutive double-doubles for Giannis. The longest double-double streak to start a season since Bill Walton had 34 in the 1976-1977 season. Bill Walton on the call last night. That guy is nuts. On the call for some college hoops in Maui. Holy cow, is that guy crazy. 414-799-1250. Once again, 414-799-1250. Giannis, 50 points. Can anybody stop this guy? And can anybody stop the Bucks in the Eastern Conference? Wes Matthews last night. We've all been pretty tough on Wes Matthews since he's came over to Milwaukee, right? He's a little bit older. He looks like he lost a few steps. He's had some injuries in his career. However, hometown kid, 19 points last night, a season high 5 3-pointers. He went 5 of 8, 6 of 9 from the field, and he had 4 rebounds and 2 assists. Pat Connaughton last night off the bench gives you some decent minutes. 11 points, 4 of 6 from the floor. Also a season high 6 rebounds. He's done it 3 times this season, but ties that again. 2 assists last night. Billy mentioned it. Brooke Lopez saves that game. Multiple block shots in 6 straight games. So at least 2 block shots in the last 6 games. 4 block shots last night. One of them to win that game. He's tied for the second most with 12 already this season. So once again, the Bucks pick up the win last night. But the main story, Giannis, 50 points, just 2 points away from his career high. Not the main story around the league last night, right? So I'm asking you guys today, 414-799-1250, are the Bucks the best team in the Eastern Conference, which I think we all know the answer to, but could anybody actually hang with this team? Like, could anybody in the Eastern Conference hang with this team? Because you look at Toronto last year, we know what happened in the Eastern Conference Finals when they won four straight after you took a 2-0 series lead. But guess what? That's not the same Raptors team. Kawhi Leonard, he's out west in Los Angeles. So can anybody actually hang with this Bucks team in the Eastern Conference Finals? We'll continue to talk about that throughout the morning. Once again, Tim Allen in for Chuck, in for Bart today. So it'll be myself and Tim Allen today. Myself and Kevin Holden will have shows throughout the week. We'll be presenting coverage here on The Fan. We got a lot going on. Don't forget also the 13th annual Fan Toy Drive for Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest, presented by Bayview Shade and Blind and Annex Wealth Management. That begins next week. So after the holiday season, I shouldn't say the holiday season, we got Christmas still to come, but after Thanksgiving, don't forget, beginning next Monday, Chuck and Winkler, the Bill Michaels Show, and the Wendy's Big Show will all be live for the 13th annual Fan Toy Drive for Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest, and that's presented by Bayview Shade and Blind and Annex Wealth Management. So don't forget to join them. Also coming up tonight, Bill Michaels back with the Bud Light Huddle. That is tonight, 6 p.m. here on The Fan. Bill will be joined by Billy Schmidt, host of the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show, as well as the Wendy's Big Show. Billy all over the place these days. And Drew Burgoyne from CBS 58. Drew gets you ready, the weatherman. They're going to be at Coaches on South 13th Street. You're definitely going to want to go check that out. And on your way home today, be sure to tune in because Packers left tackle David Bakhtiari will join the Wendy's Big Show today at 4:35, and he'll discuss what happened in that loss to the 49ers. I want to hear from David Bakhtiari today at 4:35. I will definitely be tuned in on my radio.com app. David Bakhtiari's had a rough couple of weeks. We got to be quite honest about it. And we're going to talk some Packers football in the second half of the show. But right now, I want to ask you guys, 414-799-1250, can anybody actually hang with this Milwaukee Bucks team in the Eastern Conference Finals? They got the best record. They're rolling over teams. Although I will say, last season, a crazy stat about the Milwaukee Bucks, they covered the spread in, I believe, 66 of their 82 games. This season, Vegas has caught on. Vegas has caught on. They're doing what they did with the Warriors the last couple of years, where they said, hey, you guys could continue to bet these guys every night because we know they're going to win, but these spreads are going to be a little tighter, a little higher. Last night, the Bucks favored by 9 points against the Utah Jazz. Granted, that's without Rudy Gobert, but that just shows what Vegas thinks about this team, what the league thinks about this team. They're legit. They're a top team in the Eastern Conference Finals, if not the entire NBA. And if you want to expand this conversation a little bit more, not only can anybody in the Eastern Conference hang with this team, but can anybody in the West? Because you look out West, and yeah, there's the super teams. The super teams are kind of back, right? The Clippers have Kawhi Leonard. They have Paul George, two perennial MVP candidates. However, the bench isn't that deep. Look at the Lakers. They have LeBron James, Anthony Davis, but who else is on that team that really scares you? This Bucks team is stacked. I know everybody's not the highest on Chris Middleton, but when he comes back, you only get better. So we're going to talk a lot of Bucks basketball this morning. Rick Bucher, Radio.com Sports NBA Insider. He's done work pretty much everywhere. He joins Chuck and Bart at 8:40. Eric Name at 9 a.m. Mike Clemens at 9:30. But I'm asking you guys right now, can anybody hang with this Bucks team in the Eastern Conference? I know one team that cannot. Something crazy happened in the league last night, and I'm going to tell you guys about it next on the Chuck and Winkler pregame show here on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
I think when he starts to feel it and he starts making some of those, and you know, I feel like he can go for big numbers once he starts, you know. So I love his aggressiveness. I love how he mixes it up, and you know, one night it's 15 assists and another night it's 50, and you know, I think he's obviously special.
Once again, that is Milwaukee Bucks head coach Mike Budenholzer following the Bucks' win last night, 122-118 at the Fiserv Forum over the Utah Jazz. Giannis, a season-high 50 points, 14 rebounds, his 17th consecutive double-double. And the Bucks have to rally a little bit there in the second half for their eighth straight victory. Once again, 122-118 over the Utah Jazz on Monday night. Wes Matthews, 19 points. Eric Bledsoe continues his strong play with Chris Middleton on the injury report, 13, and the Bucks are now 14-3 this season. They host Atlanta tomorrow night. Don't want to forget about that, as we'll have postgame coverage to follow here on The Fan as you kick off your holiday week. 414-799-1250. Once again, that's 414-799-1250. You could also tweet at the show at 105.7 FM, The Fan. And once again, We will be with you guys throughout the morning. Tim Allen in for Chuck, in for Bart, and the Bucks continue to roll. Mike Budenholzer on what he saw from Giannis last night.
He's always seeing areas where he can improve and get better, and it's an element or a part of our DNA. We want all our players and organizationally, we want to just keep getting better, and he sets a tone for us organizationally, and he's big time.
That's what I love about this kid. What I love about Giannis is just the drive to keep getting better and getting better. I was half joking when I said I think when it's all said and done, he could be the best player to ever play the game. Because you think of Michael Jordan, you think of LeBron James. The crazy thing about Giannis is this kid just discovered basketball about 10 years ago playing in Greece. Like, imagine if he picked up a ball at the age of 5, at the age of 4, like Jordan, like LeBron. 414-799-1250. Can anybody actually hang with this Bucks team in the Eastern Conference? We'll go out to the phone lines, go to the north side. We'll talk with Ram. Ram, what's up, my brother? Early morning.
Hey,
thanks for waking up.
How you doing, man?
Hey, do you sleep, dude?
Hey, man, I only need like 4 to 5 hours of sleep, bro.
I'm hanging.
I can get a radio job.
I was going to say, hey, I'm looking for a producer from 5 to 6. You want to pop in?
Hey, that might sound like an idea.
The only problem here is the downfall, though. You got to stay from 6 to 10 and produce for Chuck and Bart. Is that cool?
We had that discussion.
What are your thoughts on this team right now, man? I know you don't love Chris Middleton's game, but what do you think about this team right now? Can anybody in the Eastern Conference hang with them?
My concern is scoring.
Right.
You got Giannis, and it's the rest by committee. And when I look at the Eastern Conference, the top five teams, like when they play Miami – and who was that? The Celtics. They got matchup problems.
Boston.
Victor Oladipo will be back next month. I don't think they're out of the woods. Giannis had a great game, but then Rudy didn't play. Rudy held Giannis in check.
Right.
0 points.
Who's the best rim protector in the game, I'd argue, Rudy Gobert. Well,
he was defensive player of the year, went against the MVP. Mm-hmm. I still think, Ryan, we need a consistent point guard, and because what happens is Giannis sustains an injury.
Right, you run your entire offense.
I mean, no, we don't want to talk about that, but we got to be real. This is a sport where you know injuries are part of the game.
Right,
and then the last thing you ask, can anyone hang with them? I would say the Celtics, the Pacers, Miami. I mean, they're playing so. Yeah, you know, it's early in the season, so, we have to, you know, when we get to the midpoint of the season, then that's look. But like I said, the consistent scoring, like I heard a stat that Jim Paskey gave last night that they're 24th in three-point percentage.
Yep.
So if the shots are not falling, where are the slashes at to get to the free throw line?
Well, and that's what we saw last night because, I mean, Utah was just knocking down jumper after jumper. Bogdanovich just continues to own the Bucks. They were knocking down outside shots. And, yeah, that's the thing is Giannis is carrying this team. Here's where I'm with you. I think they need a second guy to create his own shot because even when Chris Middleton comes back, I don't really want him playing with the ball in his hands. He can't really create his own shot. He's not a slasher. They need a closer. But you're not going to be able to go out and get a Kyrie Irving, a Kemba Walker. But I'm with you. I think they do need a true point guard come playoff time. I like George Hill.
Because I like Bledsoe.
Yeah, I like him in the regular season.
Side of the ball.
Right, right.
Because then when he gets in foul trouble, it seems like he gets in foul trouble early.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's not on the floor. Then it's like, okay, we go to the bench. But then, you know, depending on who you play, then you got the whole matchup thing. And what I see in the NBA is that the top team got point guards that can finish and score and hurt you. And then that would be a concern going into the second part of the season, into the playoffs, is where is the big three or
right.
big two? You know, they got to be able to generate points. You know, and like I said, you know, going into the last part of the season, we'll have to see.
I'm with you, man, and especially like when you look at teams with one superstar. Like I go back to the Mavericks the year that they won the title with Dirk. Like
right.
The reason that they couldn't get past the hump is because they had to go out and get a vet point guard. And I know a lot of people laugh at this, but they went out and got Jason Kidd, who then became a better shooter later on in his career, and he
sure
wasn't
did.
Able to slash as much. But yeah, you needed a veteran point guard, and I like Eric Bledsoe,
but
and I like him defensively.
Though.
Right,
he was a great coach.
Right,
but he's a polished guy, playmaker. Like that's why I say the Bucks need a playmaker. Old school point guard, like Conley, like we had talked about Conley, he would have been a perfect fit.
No, I completely agree, man. Hey, enjoy your day. Thanks for the
All
phone
right.
call. Appreciate it. 414-799-1250. Ram pops off. You guys could jump on as we continue to talk some Bucks basketball. Again, here's Giannis after last night's game. He just continues to dominate, man.
take it day by day, game by game, and just get myself ready in games that matter the most. And this is the opportunity to get better, to help my teammate be better, because at the end of the day, we want to play, we want to be the last team that's playing at the end of the season.
I just want to keep hearing that throughout the day. We want to be the last team that's playing at the end of the season, because the individual accomplishments for Giannis, even a back-to-back MVP, would not satisfy this kid. 17 straight double-doubles to start the year does not satisfy this kid. He wants to win a championship. Let's go back out to the phone lines, 414-799-1250. We'll go out to the South Side, talk with Mike. Mike, good morning, my friend. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday to you, too.
How you doing, bud?
Morning. Good. I don't think we need to bring in a point guard at all. I actually like the chemistry we have. I think Giannis brings the ball up the court, you know, as the point forward. And just, I don't like to mess with that chemistry. And I think Bledsoe's going to beat Bledsoe in the playoffs this year. I really have faith in him this year. And what's so funny, last night when Giannis went down and hurt his elbow,
That
guy didn't miss a free throw.
Hey,
the
Mike,
whole rest of the night, maybe
Mike,
that knocked his elbow right.
No, Mike, I'm glad that you brought that up, man, because I was watching that game with my wife. We went out last night to eat, and she said, hey, this kind of reminds me of the movie Rookie of the Year. Maybe his elbow will be so messed up that he'll never miss a free throw ever again. And then he hit his first couple after that, and I saw Brooke Lopez went to Twitter last night and commented on the same thing, like half joking around. Maybe it's going to fix that free throw shooting.
Right. And like I said, yeah, it's Giannis is the best player in the NBA, bar none. That guy is just phenomenal. He does everything. And he's just a warrior.
It's a
pleasure having him here. I hope we do sign him.
Hey, do you think anybody could hang with this team in the Eastern Conference, or are they going to the finals? I know it's 17 games into the season, but
I don't see any team right now.
I'm with you.
I don't see any team that has a bench that could hang with our bench right now. I just not – the way our defense has been playing. As long as we can knock down our shots, we should win the NBA Finals. We should be champs this year.
I agree. Mike, thanks for the phone call. Have a nice Thanksgiving, buddy. Thanks for the phone call, and you enjoy your day. 414-799-1250. You could also tweet at the show at 105.7 FM, The Fan, as the tweets are starting to come in. People excited. Once again, Tim Allen in this morning, and Brewers fan, go figure, he tweets in at Ryan Horvath at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Fire up the hot stove with the franchise. And we just may. I talked on the phone with Timmy last night, and I said, you know what? I wouldn't mind talking a little bit of baseball with you, because there's a lot of controversy going on right now. Winter meetings took place. What the hell are the Brewers going to do? We're still a little bit upset with Yasmani Grandal heading to the Chicago White Sox. Are they going to keep Moose? Are they bringing in some top-line starting pitching? We may get to that. We're going to talk some Packers football as well, because what the hell happened to them on Sunday night? 414-799-1250. Could anybody hang with this Bucks team? You know, I look at the Eastern Conference right now. It's bad. It's about as bad as you probably thought that it was going to be heading into the season, right? You look at the Western Conference, it's going to be a bloodbath. It's probably going to require 50 wins just to get into the playoffs. In the Eastern Conference, you could probably be 8 games below 500 and make the playoffs this year. Like, let's look at the standings real quick right now. The 8th team in the Eastern Conference. So if the playoffs began today, the 8th seed would be the Orlando Magic. They're 6-10. The Nets are 9-8. The Nets are a disaster, right? Kevin Durant out for the year. Kyrie Irving already not working out. The guy's a little bit of a head case. I think the Nets are having a little bit of buyer's remorse already. Maybe things turn around when they get Durant back next year, but a disastrous start for the Nets. Pacers are the 6th seed. They're 10-6 right now, and they're playing decent hoops. Their last 10 games, they're 7-3, and they're eventually going to get Oladipo back. Former Buck Malcolm Brogdon looking really good. The Pacers will be a threat. The 76ers, 11-6 on the year. 6-4 in their last 10. They're 3 games back in the Eastern Conference. This is the team I want to focus on a little bit, because heading into the season, we talked with all of our Radio.com insiders, Brian Scalabrine. We talked with Rick Bucher, who will be joining us at 8:40 a.m., Radio.com Sports NBA Insider, and they all said, look out for Philadelphia. The Bucks are going to be there, but look for Philadelphia. I think that's going to be the team that heads to the Eastern Conference Finals, maybe upsets the Bucks, and maybe has a shot to win a title this year. Last night, the 76ers, they lost again. It's the regular season. I don't care about losses in the regular season, but it's how they lost. They lost 101-96. Everybody compares Joel Embiid to Giannis. Joel Embiid was held scoreless last night for the first time in his career. How crazy is that? This is a guy we're comparing with Giannis, a guy in MVP consideration, and he goes scoreless? Giannis scored 50 points last night. He was 2 points away from his career high. Never compare Joel Embiid and Giannis in the same sentence ever again. Just don't do it. I like Joel Embiid. He's a solid player, but he doesn't have the drive that Giannis has because he does a lot of load management. He doesn't play 82 games. They'll be lucky if he plays 50 games, and he doesn't go hard in the regular season. Last night, Giannis falls on his elbow. I couldn't breathe for like 35 seconds. I was having a lot of bad memories of just player injuries in this league. Guys I grew up watching and loving, Derrick Rose, Tracy McGrady, Grant Hill, that suffered injuries. I just do not want Giannis to go so hard all 82 games. I wouldn't mind seeing some load management, some rest here and there, because it's a long season, but he just has this drive where he's not going to take games off. That's what we continue to see from the 76ers team. They're immature. Ben Simmons hit his first three-pointer in his career the other night, and they wanted to throw him a ceremony. It was like they won a championship in Philadelphia. Joel Embiid, scoreless last night for the first time in his career. And the 76ers continue to struggle. 6-4 in their last 10. They're 11-6. I'm done listening about them. The Raptors. Here's what I'll say about the Raptors. They're 12-4 right now. They're just a game and a half back. They're 8-2 in their last 10. So they're playing really good basketball right now. Yeah, they lost Kawhi Leonard. Yeah, they lost Danny Green. But the thing that they did do is they brought back a couple guys. I mean, Ibaka's there, right? Marcus Gasol. They got a couple vets, and they got some solid talent on that team, and they have great coaching. Like, they wrapped up Nick Nurse. He is a good coach. I wasn't sold on him. Then he did what he did to the Bucks in four straight games in the Eastern Conference Finals. They're 12-4, but they don't scare me because I like Pascal Siakam, but that's your superstar. I don't think you're getting past the Bucks in a seven-game playoff series. The Miami Heat right now are the 3 seed. They're kind of the surprise team. They're 12-4, 7-3 in their last 10. Milwaukee product Tyler Hero from Kentucky continues to be impressive in his rookie season. Jimmy Butler has become a little bit more of a leader. Seems like guys actually like playing with him. Miami could be scary because Eric Spoelstra does know how to defend Giannis. He's one of the best coaches in the Eastern Conference, if not the entire NBA. So Miami's kind of hanging around. The surprise team, the Celtics, 12-4 this season. A game and a half back of first place, 7-3 in their last 10. So they're playing great basketball. They're the 2 seed. They're right behind the Bucks, who are 14-3 and 9-1 in their last 10. So the Celtics, I would say right now, would be the top threat. I said that coming into the season. You lose Kyrie Irving, you lose Al Horford, but I thought you actually got better in the offseason just bringing in a guy like Kemba Walker, who's been underrated for years. Kemba Walker has been underrated for years, and we're seeing that in Boston. And what that did, getting rid of head cases like Kyrie Irving out of that locker room that the young guys didn't respect, didn't see as a leader, is now it allows Brad Stevens, who is a teacher and a coach at Butler University, to go back to his roots and actually coach and actually teach and not have to deal with Kyrie Irving and babysit in that locker room with all those different personalities. So I think Boston will hang around, but to be quite honest with you, to answer my own question, 414-799-1250, I don't think anybody could hang with this Bucks team in the Eastern Conference, maybe even in the entire league. The Lakers scare me the most because they do have LeBron James, who's averaging a career-high 11 assists right now, and they have Anthony Davis. The Clippers do scare me when they get it all figured out because they have two MVP candidates and Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, and Lou Williams could get buckets whenever he wants. But right now, nobody's touching this Bucks team. 414-799-1250. You could also tweet at the show at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Next up, we're going to talk some Packers football, right? Because Matt LaFleur took the podium yesterday. We'll hear from him after that embarrassing loss to the 49ers where he only scored 8 points. And I want to know from you guys, is this Packers team, did I overrate them? Are they a 12-4 team? Are they contenders or are they pretenders? Get your thoughts. I'll give you my answer next here on the Chuck and Winkler pregame show. It's 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Chuck and Winkler pregame show. I'm Ryan Horvath, producer of the Chuck and Winkler show. We'll be back 6 to 10 coming up here shortly. Tim Allen in for Chuck, in for Bart this morning. Kevin Holman from CBS 58 will be in with the boys tomorrow. This segment on The Fan presented by Sound Decision, Southeast Wisconsin's number one dealer for remote car starters. Get ready for their Black Friday weekend promotion with the best prices of the year. Details on their Facebook page right now at Sound Decision's Black Friday. Just a few days away, so make sure to do that. Get those gifts in. Ryan Horvath with you guys until 6 a.m. Tim Allen will be in shortly. We got a lot to talk about today. Giannis goes off for 50 points last night. The Bucks continue to roll. But now it's time to break down what we saw on Sunday night. I've had a day to kind of digest, to calm myself down after that embarrassing loss that the Packers took, where they only put 8 points on the board on Sunday night football. Is this team a contender, or is this team a pretender? I'm asking you guys, 414-799-1250. You could also tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Find us on Facebook at 105.7 FM The Fan. And anything you missed today or any day, you could catch on the radio.com app. So is this team a contender, or are they a pretender? I have some numbers for you guys, and we'll take a look at the schedule as well. Yesterday, Matt LaFleur took the podium. What the hell went wrong on Sunday? Like, was he out coached? What went wrong?
Yeah, it was nowhere near good enough. And like I said yesterday, we got schemed up. And they did a much better job coaching than we did. And we had way too many mistakes. Even when we had chances, we had too many mistakes. So, I mean, all around, it was just a bad effort.
Is Aaron Jones not being really involved in the passing game, is that teams just being aware of what he can do in that facet because they saw what he did without Devontae? Or do you guys need to make a more concerted effort to get him the ball?
Yeah, I think we definitely need to involve him more. I think a little bit yesterday was a product of that scheme. You know, there's not a lot of ops for the backs, and then when we tried to get the ball to backs out of the backfield, they did a nice job of having vision on our halfbacks.
Along those lines, you know, he had those four really big games, and then he's got one catch the last three games. How does that happen? How does a guy really wow you guys and then just sort of disappear from everything?
Yeah, no, yeah, we've got to do it. Like I said, that falls on me right there, and I got to do a better job of making sure he's in the game when some of those plays are called for the halfbacks.
So when you say you got schemed up, obviously these are all guys that you know very well and they know you. Is that you don't want to get outcoached by anybody, but when those guys do it, what's the self-evaluation then, because they know you so well?
That I got to be better. I mean, bottom line, and it doesn't matter if you are going against somebody you know or not. Bottom line is, it's got to be better. So
you, I mean, we've talked about this before, how you get up there and you say that all the time. So specifically, when you look back on yesterday, what did you not give Alex Light enough help? Did you not? I mean, what are you kind of beating yourself up over specifically that you didn't do well enough?
Well, I mean, like I said, there were a few opportunities to make plays. From an offensive perspective, we had way too many mental errors. It was probably as many as we've had in a really long time, maybe since the first game of the season. So that never, it almost doesn't even afford you the opportunity to make plays. I still think that goes back to coaching. So we got to coach our guys better so they don't make those mental errors. We got to make sure that we put them through the situations that we think they're going to get in the game so that they can play fast and they can do what they're supposed to do.
Now you're talking about, you know, getting out scheme. Can you talk in particular on the two explosive touchdowns, the one Samuel caught and when Kittle caught, about how the scheme really got it accomplished?
Yeah, so the one to Debo at the end of the half, you know, they were attacking our single safety coverage, and they scat released the back, and it drained the backer out of there, and we were playing with outside leverage, and they hit a big in cut, and I think we can do a much better job in coverage with, particularly with our weak side hook player, making sure he's reading the quarterback's eyes. And when the quarterback's looking right, we got to drift right, and that would eliminate that hole and whether or not he would even be able to throw it. So that was attacking that coverage. Now, that being said, I think we can play it much better. So it goes hand in hand. And then they ran a keeper corner post to Kittle, and you know, we cut the crosser and didn't have anybody replacing on the backside to make sure that we plugged the middle of the field. That was first quarter's coverage.
Sure.
Shamont finished up that corner. Was it an injury or performance related with Trevor Key?
No, it was just more or less we felt like that was the best thing to do in that situation.
Do you have an idea of how long Brian might be out?
I don't want to really speak to that right now.
I guess against that defensive line and throwing a second-year undrafted guy out there like Alex, how do you think he did?
I think there was some good, and there was overall. I would say this: that was probably our worst game up front all season, overall. So it wasn't good enough. And again, I always want to look at myself critically and making sure that we're doing everything in our power to help put those guys in a good position, and I don't think we did. So, I mean, that's on me.
More frustrated. Your defense fought like crazy to keep you in it with a couple of red zone stops, and I think it was 3 and out after each one of them in the first half until it kind of got away right before the end of the half.
Yeah, I thought there was only 48 snaps on the defense side of the ball. I thought the first 20 snaps were pretty solid. We gave up. Obviously had that short field on, you know, having the turnover, which we knew was going to be a big deal going into this thing. Had the sack fumble. They took over on the 2-yard line, were able to punch it in. And then outside of that, there was one big run that we gave up that led to a field goal. But I thought all in all, just the starting field position was so out of whack. I mean, the defense was put in some pretty tough situations just right from the jump. But I thought they battled. Thought we got after the quarterback a little bit, but then got hit with a couple of explosives, and then the game just kind of got out of hand. When we had a chance, we went down to score. It was 23-8, and then the very next play, they hit Kittle on the 61-yarder, so that makes it 30-8. And it just, against a team of that caliber, with what I think is, you could argue it's the best or one of the best defensive lines in the National Football League, with a sound back end where they're not going to give up big plays. It just that's a big time challenge to really overcome that type of deficit in their home stadium.
That right there, Packers head coach Matt LaFleur took the podium yesterday following that loss to the 49ers, where they only put up 8 points. Is this team contenders or are they pretenders? 414-799-1250. Once again, 414-799-1250. You could also tweet in at the show at 105.7 FM The Fan. Find us on Facebook as well. Were the Packers exposed on Sunday night against San Francisco? Hey, a quick reminder, no matter what, the Packers will always be a better football team than the Bears, and we'll have a chance to celebrate that a little bit because Packers, and if you do have that Bears fan in your family, on Friday, December 13th, the entire fan team, including myself, will be live from the Brat Stop in Kenosha, along with our sister station from Chicago, 670 The Score. It'll be myself, Chuck and Winkler, Bill Michaels, and the Wendy's Big Show, all broadcasting live. Make sure to get ready for the game. Stop by to see the broadcast from both 670 The Score and us here at 105.7 FM The Fan. We'll have prizes you could possibly win, and much more. Once again, that's presented by Kenosha Subaru and the Subaru Share the Love event, which is going on now through January 2nd. Brat Stop, December 13th, 5 a.m. to 6 p.m. The entire fan team live. Be there. Do not miss it. I'll be there. Chuck will be there. Bart will be there. Both guys will be back. Both guys will be off for the holiday. Tim Allen in today for Chuck and for Bart, along with myself. Sam Schmitz will be producing the show. And then coming up tomorrow, CBS 58's own Kevin Holden. Big week for CBS 58 here on The Fan. You get Drew Burgoyne with Bill Michaels on The Huddle tonight at 6 p.m., along with Bill Schmidt, and then Kevin Holden tomorrow. So a lot going on. Once again, a quick reminder, Packers left tackle David Bakhtiari will join the Wendy's Big Show today at 4:35, and he's going to try to break down what happened in that loss to the 49ers. Rick Bucher, Radio.com Sports NBA Insider, joins myself and Tim at 8:40, Eric Name at 9 a.m., Mike Clemens at 9:30 a.m., Bill Michaels has you guys covered today from 10 to 2. Rob Reichel joins him at 11:06 from Forbes.com. He'll break down that Packers loss as well. Bill Schmidt from the Wendy's Big Show at 12:35. Then the Wendy's Big Show, David Bakhtiari and Mike Clemens also joins the boys at 5:35. Our own Green and Gold insider, our embedded Packers reporter. Again, what the hell went wrong on Sunday night? Because I have some thoughts on that game. We're going to get to those here shortly because we heard from Matt LaFleur, and one of the questions that was asked is, how does this team stop the crossing routes, which continue to kill this team in the middle of the field? I did some numbers. I looked at some numbers. Had a tweet from Ron T last night. Can you take a look at the tight end numbers, why we can't cover them, and how we're getting no production from our tight ends? I looked at the number from our tight ends, Jimmy Graham and company. Too depressing to even talk about. Even more depressing, let's look at the tight end numbers starting at week 7 for this Green Bay Packers team, how they cannot stop the crossing routes and the tight end. Week 7 against Oakland, Darren Waller, 7 grabs, 126 yards, 2 touchdowns. Week 8, Travis Kelce, 4 grabs, 63 yards and a score. Week 9, Hunter Henry, 7 catches, 84 yards. Week 10, Greg Olsen, guy that's pushing 40 years old, 8 catches, 98 yards. And then week 12, George Kittle, guy shouldn't even be out on the football field, 6 catches, 129 yards and a score. How's Matt LaFleur going to correct that? We'll talk about that a little bit later on the show as well. 414-799-1250. Is this Green Bay Packers team a contender or are they a pretender? Give our answer. Also, the franchise. Tim Allen joins me next on the roundtable here on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Yeah, it was nowhere near good enough. And like I said yesterday, we got schemed up, and they did a much better job coaching than we did. And we had way too many mistakes. Even when we had chances, we had too many mistakes. So, I mean, all around, it was just a bad effort.
That right there, Packers head coach Matt LaFleur, following the team's loss to the San Francisco 49ers. Just a disgusting, disgusting effort. Took the podium yesterday to break that one down. 414-799-1250. It's the Chuck and Winkler pregame show. Chuck and Winkler coming up 6 to 10. Tim Allen in for Chuck, in for Bart. CBS's own, CBS 58's own, Kevin Holden will be in for the boys tomorrow. And then we'll have a shortened show, 8 to 10 on Thanksgiving. I'll be in for Bill Michaels, 10 to 2. And then coverage will begin as usual at 5 a.m. on Friday, on Black Friday. Again, the Bucs pick up the win over the Jazz last night. Giannis scores 50 points. What the hell is wrong with this Packers team? Are they contenders? Are they pretenders? 414-799-1250. We heard it from Matt LaFleur. They can't cover the tight ends. Not quite sure what's going on there. The secondary looks brutal. The safety is struggling a little bit. We've seen it begin at week 7. This is when this trend really took over. They have faced some of the best tight ends in the league here in the last 5 weeks. You went from Darren Waller, who had 7 grabs, 126 yards, to Travis Kelce, to Hunter Henry, to Greg Olsen, to George Kittle, so that's to be expected. George Kittle could go off for 6 grabs, 129 yards, and a touchdown any given night. That's the best tight end in the league. The problem I have with it is this guy's playing with a broken bone. Like, he shouldn't even be out on the football field. He's missed the last couple weeks, and he just dominated. There was nobody within 50 feet of him when he did get open on those crossing routes. You look at the schedule for these teams. Are the Packers contenders? Are they pretenders? Do they still have a legit shot at getting a number one seed, getting home field advantage throughout the playoffs, and having people come to Lambeau Field? It's questionable. You look at the 49ers. With that win, they're 10-1. However, their schedule gets much, much tougher. They get the Ravens next in Baltimore. The Ravens 8-2. They've won 7 straight games. They win last night on Monday Night Football. Cost me a bunch of money. They run all over the Rams. So they get the Ravens. They get the Saints in New Orleans. So they're at Baltimore. They're in New Orleans. Then they get the Falcons, who all of a sudden are playing some decent football, though coming off a loss this Sunday. They get the Rams. They get the Seahawks. So a tough schedule for the 49ers down the stretch at 10-1. The Saints are 9-2. They get Atlanta. They get San Francisco. They get the Colts. They get the Titans. They get the Panthers. A little bit easier of a schedule. Here's where I do think the Packers do have a shot. Here's where I think that maybe they still are contenders. You get the 2-9 Giants, rookie quarterback. 2-9 Redskins, rookie quarterback. The Bears, no quarterback. The Vikings, that's going to be tough. That's going to be the game of the year right there, week 16, and it's in Minnesota where historically you don't perform very well. The Vikings are 8-3. That's going to be a tough one. Then you close out the season with the 3-7-1 Lions. I would be shocked if Matthew Stafford was on the field for that game. He has a broken bone in his back. I don't know what 3-7-1, if Detroit's trying to rush him back, it wouldn't really make any sense. It's most likely a lost year for Detroit. I see one loss on that schedule. I welcome in the franchise, Tim Allen. He'll be filling in for Chuck, filling in for Bart. First off, Tim, how you doing this morning, man? Thanks for waking up early.
Good, 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 good. Everything good.
Did you? So, what are your thoughts on this Packers loss? I know you kind of expected that, didn't you? A
little bit. I was concerned with that that matchup, and you know, the bigger game or one of the bigger games Monday night. Did you see the Monday night schedule?
Yeah.
This Monday night, Minnesota, Seattle.
Huge game.
That is a huge, that has big time impact.
Yeah, that's
for the Green Bay Packers.
That's going to be a big one. And I, you know, everybody talks about Kirk Cousins, how he can't win the big game. He can't beat a team with a winning record. Like, I feel like this is his year, and I think that that's going to be kind of like his coming out party. I think he beats Seattle. I think Seattle's still a little bit overrated. Russ Wilson's awesome, right? And the defense has been better, but I don't know. I think Minnesota's the better complete team. I think we're underselling. I think we're underrating Minnesota, especially on this show. Chuck and Bart, just not sold on Minnesota. Me, on the other hand, I think they're overall good. I love the Packers. I predicted this team to go 12-4, but when you look on paper, like, Minnesota has the more talented team.
Going toe-to-toe with Green Bay here, both 8-3, and again, the Packers get a little cakewalk here the next couple of weeks. That Bear game in 3 weeks, you never know with a Bear-Packer game. They should, clearly a better team than Chicago is.
Right.
But, you know, you never know in a Bear-Packer rivalry. But you get games against the Giants, you get games against the Redskins, and boy, you stub your toe in one of those games, I don't think you deserve to win the division.
Oh, I agree. If you lose to the Giants, and the Giants scare me a little bit more than Washington, although Washington is coming off their first win of the season, but because they got guys that can make plays, although the injury report, they released it yesterday, pretty much everybody's hurt. Jabril Peppers, their safety, has already been ruled out. Sterling Shepard's banged up. So you look at it, the thing that does scare me a little bit is Evan Engram, the tight end. I mean, you can't cover any tight ends. Although
he's out this past week. Yeah.
So he's hurt. Hopefully you miss him. And then Saquon Barkley, who's been banged up, and he's been having a rough couple weeks, but still, against this Packers run defense, I could see him having a huge day.
Never know. Well, the timing isn't good because he's due for a bubble-up game, but they shouldn't have to worry about the New York Giants.
So you would hope not.
No, not at all. We'll get into all this during the show today. And last night, I found myself watching a couple of the best young athletes in the country, on the planet, really, in Lamar Jackson and Giannis. Did you happen to just, you're bouncing back and forth between these two games.
Yeah.
And watching Giannis do his thing, watching Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is 22 years old.
Right. 5 touchdowns last night.
That is amazing.
Isn't it? And that's a great comparison right there between Lamar Jackson and Giannis, because like a couple years back, nobody was really, they both kind of came out of nowhere, right? I was talking about this with you, actually, last week. I said, when it's all said and done, I could see Giannis being the greatest basketball player ever to play the game. Because when you think about it, like, he just picked up a ball like 8 to 10 years ago, where most of these guys are playing hoops at 6 years old. In Greece, he probably didn't even know about hoops until he was like 7 or 8 years old. And then Lamar Jackson is a guy that everybody was saying, you can't play quarterback, even at Louisville after winning a Heisman. You know, you can't play quarterback. You're a wide receiver. You're a kick returner. And again, last night, 5 touchdown passes. He also runs for another 95 yards. Like, how do you stop that offense?
I think the league will adjust to him.
Do you think so? Like, yeah. RG3?
It may take a little bit. You remember, just a few years ago, it was Colin Kaepernick running around. It was that mobile quarterback phase that the NFL went through.
With the RPOs, yeah.
Yeah, RG3, that's a good example. That was one of them. Cam Newton was a lot more mobile than he is these days. So even Joe Webb up there in Minnesota was running around and getting some things done. So everybody thought that was the new craze in the NFL. In fact, Mike McCarthy, former Packers head coach, even went down to Texas to get some schooling on the mobile quarterback, how to defend that mobile quarterback. He took an offseason to go down there for a few days. And so then the league adjusted to it.
That was my favorite part of that story, is that Dom Capers finally adjusted to the option, like, when it was 2 years too late.
Well, right. Now, everyone did, and I think the league, to a degree, will adjust to Lamar Jackson, but he is special talent. It clearly looks like he's special talent. Give that guy, you know, because he's going to readjust to the league, but give Lamar Jackson a chance to have 2 years, 4 years additional from right now, 3, 4, 5 years from right now. Man, sky's the limit. Harbaugh lets him do his thing. You heard last night on the broadcast of Booger McFarland talking about that they have set things up, the Baltimore Ravens, to work around him.
Well, and that's what's so cool, because like if you look at last season, right, Joe Flacco is your starting quarterback for the first 7-8 games of the season. a classic drop back passer. They completely changed that whole offense, only like in the offseason, but in the last eight games of the season last year to make the playoffs for them. And then this year, yeah, they redid everything. And then even the backup quarterbacks run the same system. You got RG3 there, the kid out of Penn State, Trace McSorley's there. And so what they're doing with that offense, and that's why like John Harbaugh continues to prove how good of an NFL head coach he is. I'm not so sold on Jim Harbaugh, although Michigan has won a few straight, but John Harbaugh's a great NFL coach, and I love what they're doing. He's awesome to watch. And he does continue to figure it out because everybody thought he was just this running quarterback. Like, if you watch Lamar Jackson, he beats you with his legs because he can. But he wants to be a classic drop-back passer. He wants to be, and he's working on it. He's getting better.
And that's the key to being a good NFL head coach is to adjust to the personnel that you've got. Jalen Hurts is going to come into play here. Now, whoever takes him, are they going to readjust to his assets?
Right.
It's pretty cool to see guys at the top of their game, and I just noticed that last night in both Lamar Jackson and Giannis Antetokounmpo, that he pours in 50.
Yeah.
Pours in 50, a 14-3 mark, 8 straight for the Milwaukee Bucks, and they're in cruise control to, you fill in the blank.
Yeah, I know.
We're November and the Bucks are in cruise control? How good is that?
I know. I wish we could use the radio.com app and fast forward to the playoffs. That'll do it for the Chuck and Winkler pregame show. Chuck and Winkler coming up next, 6 to 10. Bill Michaels, 10 to 2. The Wendy's Big Show brings you. Wendy's Big Show, not Wendy. They'll bring you home 2 to 6 here on The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.